How are you?
Good.
Dios le bendiga. Dios le bendiga. Gloria a Dios. I bring you warm greetings from Tijuana. I was down there this past week meeting with our new missionaries there, helping our international director do some training and so forth. And I brought the warm weather home with me. You are welcome. Now, we had a great time. Good week. Love Tijuana and what's going on down there. And I want to thank Pastor Jacob and the youth for leading the service last week. Good job. I kind of feel bad that I missed out because he got all science-y and stuff, and I love that kind of talk. So I'm kind of bummed that I missed out. Anyway, it is time for Kids Church. Age 3 through grade 4, you guys are dismissed. You can head out the back doors. Have fun. Be good. Well, we've been in a series called What Would Jesus Do, or WWJD. Some of you have the bracelets that with the symbols on there. It's a good thought for us. I know it's a little bit dated now. It's not as popular as it once was, but it's still a good thought to ask the question, what would Jesus do? And so we've been taking a look at a variety of scriptures to see Jesus' example and how it can apply to our lives. And so far, we've talked about the character, the conduct, and the conditions of Christ-likeness. And so we've talked about to be more like Jesus, we need to be selfless, that's hard, and humble, and obedient. That's being like Jesus. We're also to be servants who trust God and live for righteousness. And then last time we talked about putting off the old life and putting on the new by remembering who we are in Christ, by running from temptation, and by relying on the Holy Spirit. We can be more like Jesus. How many want to be more like Jesus? I hope your answer to that is yes, because that is what God has called you to. If you're a follower of Christ, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has called you to be more like Jesus. And so that applies to all of us. Now today I want to talk about the criteria of Christ-likeness, and we're in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, just one verse, verse 32. You got it? Here's how it goes. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Real simple. The criteria. Criteria, it means characterizing traits. So there are some characteristic traits of the Lord Jesus Christ that should also become characteristic of us. We are trying to be like him. So what was his example? What was characteristic traits that he had that we can also adopt? And these are really simple, but they're fundamental. Number one, be kind. Be kind. Jesus was kind. Can you ever remember a time when you regretted saying something kind? Probably not. I mean, that's almost always a good thing to do. It's also been said it's easier to catch flies with honey than with vinegar. Be kind. Now, in the original language, it literally means to be useful or to furnish what is needed. That is kindness, to furnish what is needed. So when you see something that somebody needs and you supply that need for them, you are showing them kindness. That's what it means. Jesus came to furnish what we couldn't furnish for ourselves, right? We needed a Savior. We couldn't supply that ourselves, so he came and became our Savior. He showed kindness to us. And so when we see a need and we feel the need, we are displaying kindness as well. Kindness is a virtue that we are supposed to add to our lives. Now, the truth is, by nature, we are self-focused. Right? Or is it just me? I think by nature, we tend to be self-focused. It's all about me. What's in it for me? How does this affect me? That's how we tend to naturally think. But God calls us to add kindness into our life where we're thinking about others and how we can help them out instead. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, here's what it says. Make every effort to add to your faith. Okay? You've got faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many here have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, good. That's step one. Okay, that's not the end of the story. There is more to it. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, but then add to that faith. And here's what you're supposed to add. Goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. We're to add to our faith. Just believing in Jesus is the starting point. But then we should be adding on and growing in our faith. Kindness. Does anybody here remember the sitcom All in the Family? Okay, I'm going way back. All in the Family. We never really watched this show, but I got the gist of it. You know, Archie is basically a huge jerk. And Edith is a rather nice person. Okay, and they live together. And I guess in one scene, Archie is complaining, as he commonly did. And he says to Edith, "That's you all right, Edith the good. You'll stoop to anything to be good. You never make nobody mad. You think it's easy living with a saint. Even when you cheat, you don't cheat to win, you cheat to lose. Edith, you ain't human." And Edith says, "That's a terrible thing to say, Archie Bunker." Oh, you know, she had that voice kind of. "I'm just as human as you are." And Archie retorts, "Oh, yeah? Then prove you're just as human as me. Do something rotten." And for most of us, the doing something rotten comes pretty natural. You know, and I, you think about toddlers when they're just starting to interact with others. You don't have to teach them to be naughty. Okay, that comes very naturally. It's being good and being kind that we have to learn. We can add it into our life. It's something that can be developed. Kindness is also a fruit of the Spirit, which means, you know, we have a theme here. Every little bit, it seems like we're talking about you just need more of Jesus. You just need to get closer to Jesus. And here's the deal. Since kindness is the fruit of the Spirit, the closer we get to Jesus, the more we have of His Spirit in us, the easier it is to be kind. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fruit of the Spirit. So as we get closer to Jesus, we cooperate with what He is already doing in our lives. Remember, the Scripture says that He works in us to will and to act according to His good pleasure. He's working in us. He wants to develop this good stuff in us. We just need to cooperate. Okay? And He will develop this kindness in us. And somebody said, one kind act will teach more love of God than 1,000 sermons. Pretty true. When somebody is in a desperate situation and they sincerely need help and you step in and help them because of the love of Christ, that speaks more volume than I could speak in a whole bunch of sermons. It says a lot. Be kind. It's important. Then, second, be compassionate. Be kind, be compassionate. Compassionate, sympathetic, tender-hearted. Most literally, it means to suffer with. Yeah! Suffer with people. Yeah, we don't generally want to sign up for that. Oh, you're getting a beating today? Let me come and join you for that. We don't think like that, but that's what we're called to, be compassionate. Compassion asks us to go where it hurts, to enter into places of pain, to share in brokenness, fear, confusion, and anguish. Compassion challenges us to cry out with those in misery, to mourn with those who are lonely, to weep with those in tears. Compassion requires us to be weak with the weak, vulnerable with the vulnerable, and powerless with the powerless. Compassion means full immersion in the human condition. When we look at compassion this way, it becomes clear that something more is involved than a general kindness or tenderheartedness. You see, being kind is kind of a mild version of compassion. Then compassion is the big boy. Because it's to totally identify with somebody else's condition. Show them compassion. Jesus, of course, is our ultimate example. He showed us compassion. He came and walked among us. He became one of us. He knows what it is to be human. He experienced what we experience, and he ultimately suffered for us, dying on the cross. You see, Jesus showed the ultimate compassion. In fact, there are many times in the scripture when Jesus is approaching an area and there's a crowd of people, and it'll say he saw the crowds and he had compassion on them. He saw their situation and his heart went out to them. He had compassion for them. Henry Nouwen says, "Let us not underestimate how hard it is to be compassionate. Compassion is hard because it requires the inner disposition to go with others to the place where they are weak, vulnerable, lonely, and broken. To actually get into their situation with them." That's what Jesus did for us. He didn't just save us from afar, you know, kind of the magic wand, boom. He didn't do that. He came and actually lived here with us, walked amongst us, took on human form, and ultimately died. That is ultimate compassion. At this past week in Tijuana, we talked a lot about how to be a good missionary, and it involves immersing yourself in their culture, becoming one of them. And we had some missionaries there who had done a lot of missionary work over the years, and they've known other missionaries. And they talked about there were some groups that they would get a few translators, and they would just work through the translators. And so they would kind of have their little huddle of missionaries, and they would only interact with the locals through translators, and that's about it. They were not very effective. But the ones who actually got completely immersed in the culture, learned the language, learned the customs, and interacted with the people face-to-face, they're the ones who were effective. Compassion is getting completely involved in somebody's life. Colossians 3:12 says this, "As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion." You get that? Clothe yourself. Compassion for a Christian is like clothing. So let's flip it upside down. If you're not compassionate, you're naked. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Then listen to this. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. You know, that's all part of the deal. And we're to wear that as clothing. It's just a part of who we are. I think in the King James Version here where it says, I'm reading compassion, I think the King James says bowels of mercy. That's kind of an older way of saying things. But in our modern way, we might think about our heart. You know, we might even say something like this, oh, my heart really went out to them for the situation they were in. Or, oh, when they sang that song, it just touched my heart. And if you put a little southern accent on it, it goes even better. Just touched my heart. And even the bowels part, we can identify with that. Like if you see somebody going through a really difficult time and you just feel bad for them, you might say, oh, it made me sick to my stomach. You know, it's that kind of feeling is what compassion is. James Hewitt helps us describe this, and he says a little girl was sent on an errand by her mother. She took much too long in coming back, and so mom wanted an explanation when she finally returned. The little girl explained that on her way, she had met a little friend who was crying because she had broken her doll. "Oh," said the mother, "then you stopped to help her fix the doll?" "Oh, no," replied the little girl, "I stopped to help her cry." Compassion. Now, men, this is harder for us because we tend to be fixers. Got a problem? Let's fix it. Right? Or am I the only one again? There's a problem. I want to fix the problem. Right? Okay? So this is a little harder for us, but I am betting that your wife will tell you that there are plenty of times she does not want you to fix the problem. She just wants you to listen and show a little heart. Can I get an amen from the women? Okay. Pretty true, right? Naomi, am I? She says, if I want you to fix it, I'll tell you, help me fix this. Otherwise, just. And even when there are times that we do need to fix something, we need to do it because we're driven by compassion, not just to get it off of our to-do list. You know, there's a big difference. It's just on my list. I need to get that out of the way. No, that's the wrong motive. The motive is, I really understand what you're going through, and I feel for you. Can I help with that? That's compassion. In fact, we are all called to be compassionate. Clear back in Psalm 82, verse 3, it says, defend the cause of the weak and fatherless, maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed, rescue the weak and needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. See, that's compassion, helping those in need. This is kind of a fun one. A man fell into a pit and couldn't get himself out. Got the picture? He's in a pit, he can't get himself out. A Christian scientist came along and said, you only think you're in a pit. A Pharisee said, only bad people fall into a pit. A mathematician calculated how he fell into the pit. A news reporter wanted the exclusive story on his pit. A fundamentalist said, you deserve your pit. Buddha said, your pit is only a state of mind. A realist said, that's a pit. A scientist calculated the pressure necessary to get him out of the pit. A geologist told him to appreciate the rock strata in the pit. An evolutionist said, you are a rejected mutant, destined to be removed from the evolutionary cycle. In other words, you're going to die in the pit so that you cannot produce any pit-falling offspring. The county inspector asked if he had a permit to dig the pit. A professor gave him a lecture on the elementary principles of the pit. A self-pitying person said, you haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit. A wild charismatic said, just confess, you're not in a pit. An optimist said, things could be worse. A pessimist said, things will get worse. But Jesus, seeing the man, took him by the hand and lifted him out of the pit. You see the difference? Jesus had compassion. He came down into our situation to lift us up, and he calls us to be just like that, filled with compassion. So let's be kind, and let's be compassionate, and then let's be forgiving. Forgiving is to grant as a favor. It's to pardon. It's to rescue. Jesus pardons us for our sins. He forgives us. Isn't that really the ultimate story of what Jesus did for us? He forgives us. According to the scripture, we have all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. And because of that, we deserve punishment. This is the basic story of the scripture. we deserve punishment. And there's no way we can pay it up. So Jesus paid it for us. He forgives us. You ever had a huge medical bill and the hospital write it off? Every once in a while, you'll hear that story. That's basically what God did for us. We had this huge pile of debt. We would never, ever be able to pay it off. God says, because of Jesus, write off. Erwin Lutzer says, you must choose to forgive whoever has wronged you. Forgiveness is not an emotion. It's a decision of the will. I decide to forgive. Gandhi says the weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. It takes strength, it takes fortitude to really be able to forgive someone who has wronged you. That's hard to do. Right? It's hard to forgive. And yet he calls us to. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, it's part of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. It's just built right into what we're supposed to pray and how we're supposed to pray. Help us to be forgiving. C.S. Lewis says, we all agree that forgiveness is a beautiful idea until we have to practice it. Yeah, I love it that God forgives me. But me forgiving you, that's another story. We tend to think like that. Mark 11:25, Jesus says, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. You catch the correlation there? It scares me a little bit. Forgive so that you will be forgiven. Yeah. I'll elaborate a little bit more in a moment. Somebody said, if God were not willing to forgive sin, heaven would be empty. And if we are unwilling to forgive, our lives and our homes will be empty as well. You know, somebody said, true love is never having to say you're sorry. That's a bunch of malarkey. True love is having to say you're sorry a lot and giving and receiving forgiveness. That's true love. And then here's my elaboration. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus tells a little bit longer story, and it has to do with the subject of forgiveness. This is important. Peter came to the Lord Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times. And if you know anything about Peter, he's thinking, up to seven times? You know, he's thinking, I know this is a big number. I'm offering the Lord some really good stuff here. I know most people only forgive once or twice or three strikes you're out, but Lord, I'll do it seven times. And the Lord says, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Or some translations say seven times 70 times. That's how much we're supposed to give. Forgive. Okay? If that doesn't hit your heart already, let me read the rest of the story. Jesus goes on and says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents, which would be millions of dollars. This man who owed him millions of dollars was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he, his wife, and his children, and all that he had, be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is just a few dollars. He grabbed him, began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." Sound familiar? But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "Listen, you wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. That's a dramatic story, isn't it? But listen to how Jesus wraps it all up. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Wow. Jesus was not mincing any words here at all. He was playing it very straight. And it's repeated in the scripture. You want forgiveness from God, and God wants to give you forgiveness. He died for you so that he could forgive you. But he expects, as a follower of Christ, that you will be forgiving to the people who have offended and hurt you in your life. And I can't say it any plainer than Jesus did. He basically says, if you don't forgive, God's not going to forgive you. Wow. Quite frankly, that scares me. It does. If I'm unforgiving, the forgiveness I have in Christ is in jeopardy. That's a scary, scary thought. But Jesus set us the example. He went all the way to the cross. He died to forgive. Usually, for us, at least here in America, most of the time when we forgive, it's a matter of kind of letting something go. You know, somebody looked at you cross-eyed or said something a little snarky to you. And all you have to do is just let it go. But Jesus actually died to forgive us. So how hard is it to just let a few things go and say, "I forgive you"? You understand? Somebody said, "Regard as enormous the little wrong you did to others and as trifling the great wrong done to you." So when you do something wrong, it's a big deal and you need to make up for it. But if somebody does something wrong to you, it's a little deal. It'll be okay. That's the kind of attitude you need to have in your mind, because we are willing to forgive as believers. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27, it says, "But I tell you who hear me, listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." Oh, boy. The Lord has some high standards, doesn't he? Would it be all right if I rewrote that? No, wouldn't. Then he says, "If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also." What? In the movies, somebody hits you, you pull out a gun and shoot them. You see how Jesus is countercultural? He teaches different than what our society teaches. If somebody strikes you on the cheek, turn them the other cheek also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. And then he says, here's our golden rule: do to others as you would have them do to you. You like it when people are kind to you, right? You like it when people show you some compassion, right? You like it when people will forgive you for being an idiot. Right? So that's what we should do for others as well. So let's be kind. Jesus was kind. He furnished what we needed. Let's be kind as well. Jesus was compassionate. We should be compassionate. He lived among us. He suffered for us. Let us have compassion for others as well. And Jesus was and still is forgiving. He forgives us. He pardons us. He even pardons his enemies. Let us be willing to forgive as well. Amen? Be kind. Be compassionate. Be forgiving. You can be more like Jesus. Praise the Lord. And we need God's grace to help us in all these things, right? Boy, especially that last one really hit me hard with the stories that Jesus told to illustrate it. Lord, help us. Help us, God. That's a hard thing. And yet it's what we're called to do. And I see that pattern over and over in Scripture. God says, here's what I want you to do. And I say, I can do this. God says, no, this. And basically the idea is, you've got to just give up, and then God will do that in you and through you. Remember, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. So it's not so much try harder to be kind. It's submit more to the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be filled more with his Spirit. And then kindness comes naturally. Or, let's say, supernaturally. As you allow him to work in you. And all these things, it's just more of Jesus. You want to be more like Jesus? Then you need more of Jesus. Simple answer. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Why don't you stand and let's sing our theme song for this series, What Would Jesus Do?